So it's one of my pet peeves. I have a lot of them. But I call my kids to do something, and they yell back to me, "Hold on." I think I got an echo, so we're just going to do that. There you go. That makes it better. And you know what I usually ask them? To what? What are you asking me to hold on to? This is our third week in this study, and we're studying Jesus. Specifically, we're studying his life as it intersects with our life. We're studying the idea of his ministry. And the first week in the study, we talked about his baptism. We talked about what it meant for Jesus to come into this world and what it meant for him to be a sacrifice. And not surprisingly, from the moment his ministry started, he had already been designated as the sacrifice. This is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of the world who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was born to be a sacrifice. And he began his ministry by demonstrating what it means to be a sacrifice, his death, burial, and resurrection, the idea of baptism. As we move to another painting and another thought, last week we stopped by the upper room and we took a look at the Last Supper. There Jesus brought baptism to life again as he outlined what was about to happen to him. And then the funny thing is he provided yet another symbol that pointed to the death, burial, and resurrection, the idea that he was going to be the sacrifice of the world. And I hope it does not get lost on you that Jesus began his ministry with a symbol, and Jesus ended his ministry with a symbol. And then he went out, and he lived the symbol. Don't let that get lost in the idea that Jesus was all about this idea of being a sacrifice. So today we're going to move to our third scene and our third painting. And the name of this painting is called From Fear to Faith. And I will be very honest, this is the first painting. When I went out looking for paintings of Jesus' ministry, this one caught my eye, and it is the first one that made the cut. The other ones I debated, use this or that. This one, there was no debate. I found this painting, I read the story behind it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's just a sermon waiting to be preached. And that's what we're going to do today. The painting you are looking at is entitled From Faith to Tear, and it was painted by Howard Lyon in 2010. The painting depicts a familiar story of when Jesus calmed the storm. Now, there is a very big story that goes with this painting. The author, when he painted this, actually put out on his website what he meant by each of the symbols that you see, each of the people, each of the things that you see in this painting. So, but we're going to save the story for the end. We're going to save the story behind the painting to the end. I'm going to do this a little bit different than we've done the past 2 weeks. We're going to begin by looking at Jesus calming the storm. And here's the thing. How many people here feel like they have a storm in their life? Storm is something that you can't control. You know what? Storms just kind of happen. And you know what? Jesus says, "I can calm the storm if you let me." So I want to look at the stories. And really, when I say look at the stories, it's one story, but it's told three times in Scripture. And so I want to look at all three times. I'm just going to kind of read the story to you. You can either try to turn to them and keep up, or you can just kind of listen to the story. But I want to look at all three versions of the story. And then, anybody here ever get a Highlight magazine, or am I just showing my age? You know what a Highlight magazine is? Yeah, I remember those. Yeah, those are kind of fun. I usually find them in the doctor's office. And you know, in the Highlight magazine, there was always this exercise. Hey, Caleb, there's a lever that says lapel. Can you pull it down just a little bit? I feel like I am just like standing in an echo chamber. There you go. Thank you. So I'm on this board, lapel. So in the Highlight magazine, there was always this exercise where they would have two pictures, and they would ask you to find the things that's different between the two pictures. And some of them were very subtle things, and some of them were not so subtle things. So today we're going to look at the three stories. And first we're going to look at the commonalities. Then we're going to go look at the little bitty differences. And so hopefully you've had time to make it to Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. This is how Matthew writes the story. Then he, being Jesus, got into the boat. His disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, and so the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. Now, Mark also tells us this particular story. And Mark writes the story this way in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowds behind, they took him along. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Now, Luke also tells the story, and it sounds basically the same. In Luke chapter 8, verses 23 through 25, this is Luke's telling of this same event. On one day, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in a boat and set out, and they sailed. He fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. So, three stories told about the same event. And the first thing I want to do is I want to look at what do the stories have in common. What links these stories together? And the first thing that is very obvious, they got in a boat. In all three stories, it talks about the fact that Jesus and the disciples got in a boat. Maybe one thing that you missed that in all three of the stories, the boat was Jesus' idea. In Matthew, it says they followed him into the boat, but in Mark and Luke, it does say he suggested the boat. So Jesus kind of set this up. He said, hey, let's take a boat ride, guys. Now, you would think the disciples, all of the boat experiences they had, whenever Jesus said, let's get in the boat, the disciples say, uh-oh, I wonder what today's lesson's about, because it just seemed like lessons always came from these boat trips. In all three stories, Jesus fell asleep. Well, that's important that we realize that everybody knew Jesus was sound asleep somewhere in the boat. In all three stories, a storm blew up. I wrote that thing, and I just couldn't believe I wrote it, because that's kind of a southern thing about a storm blowing up. Storms don't blow up. They just kind of come. They pass through. But a storm blew up, and the boat was being flooded. In all three stories, it talked about how the boat was taking on water. And, you know, I'm not really a swimmer, and I'm not really a boat person, but I do know boats taking on water is a bad thing. Okay, I can figure this out. And the disciples realized this. These were seasoned fishermen, and the disciples were afraid, and mainly they were afraid of drowning. And I can get that, all right? They should have wore life preservers, see? They woke Jesus. Now, I'm really not sure what they were expecting Jesus to do at this point, but I guess they figured the boat was in trouble, the boat was rocking, we can't do anything to fix this problem. I guess we better go get Jesus, okay? Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith. Now, we'll talk about this in a little bit, about how he went about rebuking their faith, but in all three stories, Jesus had comments to make about the idea of faith, and then he rebuked the storm. Now, here's the funny thing. In all three stories, the storm obeyed. The disciples, well, they were just left wondering, who is this? So in the story, the storm immediately realized who he was, and the disciples were still asking questions. Isn't that how it works? Oftentimes, nature is much more responsive to God than we ever are. There's this thing called free will that messes with that. So let's take a look at the interesting details. And these are good because we do have three stories, and there are other things to mention from each of the three stories. And the thing is, if you wonder why there are differences, well, you have to remember, have you ever seen a car accident? And then somebody asks you to describe it? And so you describe the car accident, and maybe somebody else says, yeah, I saw that accident. And they start describing, and what they described, maybe they had other details that you didn't pay. We're different people. We all pay attention to different things. And so you've got three people here telling the same story. And I think, as they say, the depth is in the details sometimes. Looking at the things that were different, the Highlight magazine gives us some insight into what was really happening in the story. Because Matthew tells us that the storm came up suddenly without warning. He's the only one that actually mentioned that it was suddenly. It came out of nowhere. It was like one of those Virginia thunder boomers that just come out of nowhere and it shakes everything. You don't even get a clap of thunder that tells you it's going to come. It's just, you're standing there and all of a sudden it's just like wind is blowing everywhere, and then you see rain and then it thunders and you're like, okay. And then you go running for the house. That's sort of how this works. Now, when Mark looks at the story, he tells us this was an evening voyage. He's the only one that mentioned the fact that this was at night. So that means this was after a long, hard day of ministry. They had been out doing stuff all day long. And so now they're going to go and take a boat trip. Now, the disciples were seasoned sailors, most of them. Jesus was a carpenter. And I'm sure the disciples want to say, you know what, this boat thing is a lot of work, Jesus. Can't we just like go to the Motel 6 and hang out there for a little while? Why a boat? But it was an evening voyage. And Mark also tells us they were trying to leave the crowd behind, but they followed in other boats. He's the only one that mentions this detail, that it wasn't just one boat out there on the ocean. Well, on the Sea of Galilee. Sorry, it wasn't an ocean, it was a sea. And it wasn't just one boat that they were trying to get away from the crowds, but Jesus was so popular that when he got in the boat, all the other people said, he's going in the boat. Let's get a boat. Let's follow him. And so when the storm blew up, it wasn't one boat that was in trouble. There were multiple boats. The difference is only one boat had Jesus. All the other boats, we'll talk about them. Jesus was asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat. Now, here's why I find this detail interesting, because Jesus wasn't out there and like, you know, boats sway back and forth and they get this nice rhythm. Jesus wasn't rocked to sleep. By the fact that he had a cushion, that means Jesus physically went to the back of the boat, made himself a place, and he laid down and on purpose went to sleep. Now, he knows the storm is coming because he's God, right? Don't you think maybe this was a bad time for him to choose to go to sleep? I mean, come on. Have a little insight here. I mean, we're on a boat. Now is not the time to sleep. But Jesus, on purpose, by the fact that he had this little cushion, he was all snuggled up in the back, and he was all asleep. This wasn't just a happenstance thing that was going on. The funny thing is that Luke is the only one that stresses great danger. I guess Luke is Captain Obvious. Yeah, it was great danger. So when Luke looked at the situation, he said, you know what? This was a bad situation. This was going to end badly if something drastically didn't go differently. Now, there's also differences in how they address Jesus, and I find this incredible. The first thing is in Matthew, and Matthew addresses him as Lord. By the way, here's a little side note. Matthew was the only one that was actually on the boat. Okay, Luke and Mark are telling the story secondhand because maybe they were in one of the other boats, but neither one of them were on this boat. They were not one of the 12 disciples. But Matthew, who was also known as Levi, he was actually on the boat, and he says, Lord. Now, Lord is important because Lord is the person that's in charge. And that's how Matthew addresses him. Mark, on the other hand, addressed him as teacher. The word is rabbi. And while a teacher is somebody that also has authority, a teacher is somebody that is there to give you a lesson. He isn't necessarily the authority on everything, but he's the authority on this. And so Matthew saw the idea, and he said the word teacher. And Luke uses the word master. As a matter of fact, he used it like this. Master, master! He puts it together like a desperate cry. But you understand a master is somebody that is there to be served. See, there's a difference here. The Lord's the authority. The teacher is the person giving the information. The master is the person that you're there to serve. So they have a different perspective of who's in the boat with them. Who is it that Jesus is in the boat? Because this, how you view Jesus, will tell you much about how you view your faith. Speaking of faith, what they wanted for Jesus to do, they each had a different way that they wanted Jesus to act. Matthew, the one in the boat, looks at the idea. He says, "Save us!" Exclamation point. You get the idea that the wind was howling and it was very loud, and he's just yelling, "Save us! We're going to drown!" And that's how they woke Jesus up. He was looking for salvation. I like Mark's question. Don't you care? My life's in trouble. My boat is sinking. My sails are torn. My world is being rocked. And here you are asleep at the wheel or asleep in the stern. Why on earth? Don't you care? Do I have to come to you and wake you up to make you care? It's an interesting question. Storms in our life, sometimes isn't this how we address God? God, don't you care that I've got a problem? Jesus is going to talk about this. Luke, I love it, the fact, Luke, obviously the doctor, the scientist of the group, doesn't ask a question at all. He just goes and gives Jesus the information, informing Jesus there's a situation that we think you should know about. But he doesn't ask him to do anything. He just says, "Hey, in case you were wondering, that water that's coming up lapping around your feet, it's not a bath. The boat's taking on water." What's going on here, Jesus says, this is going to get very bad very shortly. And so I'm just coming to let you know we could really use your help. But he doesn't ask anything of Jesus. So the faith question also differs as we move from story to story. In Matthew, the question that Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" So he at least attributes them to having a little bit of faith. I mean, I guess a little bit of faith, they came and woke Jesus, right? They could have just let the boat go down with him asleep in the back, I guess. Of course, that would have been even cooler because then he would just walk on the water and rescue them one by one, I guess. I don't know how he would have taken care of it. But he says, "You know what? Why are you afraid? Because I'm in the boat." Mark, Jesus' question is worded this way. "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Don't go anywhere. Why are you so afraid of what's going around you? Where is your faith? Why do you have no faith in this situation? Do you really think I would go all this trouble to come and let you die? Luke just asked a simple question. Where is your faith? Where did you put it? Did you forget it when we got in the boat? Did you leave it back on the shore? Did you forget to stick it in your pocket? Have you forgotten the idea of faith here? Do you really think that I'm going to let something bad happen at this point? Do you really think this storm is too much for me? All the things, all the chaos, all the wind, all the rain, all the water, do you think it's too much for me? Where have you put your faith in? Now, here's what I know. You're out of blanks. And I'm okay with that. But please don't pack up to go, because now we have to go back and talk about the painting. And I didn't give you any blanks because I want your focus on the screen. Because the first thing I want you to note in this painting, they are in the storm. Now, the artist didn't paint any rain, but he did paint that big orange swirl, that tempest storm, and the dark clouds around it. And there is no doubt whatsoever, this boat is in trouble. Got a feeling if we were to add noise to this, this would be a very loud scene. As the wind howls and the waves are going back and forth, the boat is rocking. And you know what? They're in a storm. And I can appreciate this. Because you know what? Oftentimes we find our lives in storms that just blew up out of nowhere. And then we get into that storm and we're wondering, well, now what do I do? God, you weren't supposed to let storms come in my life. God never promised that. God never promised this was going to be an easy journey. He never promised quiet waters. This isn't the love boat that they climbed onto. And always a happy ending at the end of every story. It's one of the amazing things when you read the Gospels. This is real life, folks. And they're in a storm. So now I want to break down all the people that you see one by one. And the first one is the other boats following in the distance. Now, let's be honest. Until I just put a circle around them, how many of you actually saw the other boats? That's part of the artist's point. What were you consumed with? The main boat. The boat that had Jesus in it. The boat that's going to answer my problems. But you do understand that that little boat that's off there in the distance, it's as in much trouble as the boat that Jesus is in. There's only one difference again. There's no Jesus in their boat. And while their life is physically going to be saved also when Jesus calms this storm, guess what? The only way they're going to know what happened is somebody's going to have to go to their boat and tell them the story. Otherwise, they're just going to think, you know what? Good thing that storm blew over. Good thing I didn't have to worry about that one. I thought I was going down, but it looks like, oh my gosh, Mother Nature did her job. The only way this boat is ever going to understand what happened, the only way they're going to have any kind of faith, is somebody from the boat that's in with Jesus is going to have to go to their boat and tell them the story. I almost titled the name of the sermon, Did You Miss the Boat? Because very oftentimes we are so consumed with our picture and how God is going to solve my problem, we miss the boat. Interesting in the stories, as the three stories were put out there, only one of the three even mentioned these boats. Otherwise, they would have never been in the story at all because the painter wouldn't have known about them. But since they were there, he placed them. But he placed them very small in the back, kind of dim. You really have to pay attention. You have to look hard. But you know what? Now that I've told you that they're there, it's going to become very easy to see that they're there for the entire time. And it's my job to do something about those boats, not just the boat that I find myself in. Interesting idea the painter throws in here. How easy would it have been just to leave that detail off and just focus on that big boat in the middle. So let's talk about the people that are in the boat. And before you go correcting me, yes, I realize the artist shorted us four disciples. I can do math, and if I count, there are only eight disciples in the boat. And, well, there were 12, okay? So I realized that, but he wasn't trying to paint a historically accurate painting. He's trying to give us a picture of what it means to go from fear to faith. Maybe they're in the other boats. Who knows? Maybe they jumped overboard when the storm came. I don't know where they went, but they're not in my picture. But we are going to talk about this first disciple that you see there. What's he doing? He's bailing water. That's probably a good plan, isn't it? Boats filling with water, the best way to save the boat is to what? Get the water out of the boat. That way the boat doesn't sink. What's the likelihood of success? Not very good. Not at all. I mean, this kind of storm that's going to blow, this kind of water, he's been out here long enough, he realizes this boat's going down and I can bail all day long, but the water's just going to keep on coming. What's his faith been placed in? Himself. He's decided, I'm going to fix my problem. I'm going to take action on it. Understand, this is up to me. If I don't do something with it, this boat's going down. But here's the other thing I want you to see. He has no sight of Jesus. If he was to turn his head for just a second and look, he can't even see Jesus because the sail is in the way. You understand, this man is in the boat, but the reality is he's living on an island. He's trapped in a storm that he can't control. He can't get out of. His life is in jeopardy. He's going to die. And he can't even see the very thing that can save him. So he decides, I'm going to make the effort on my own. And he just starts bailing. You know, the truth of the matter is, he's going to go down bailing. Because this storm is out of his control. And as I look at this, I think a lot of people are in this particular place. Understand, where is he? What boat is he in? He's in the boat with Jesus. Jesus is right there. Very easy for him to access. But he is so consumed with saving his own life that he has forgotten what it means to turn to Jesus in faith. He is so consumed with fixing the problem at hand that he absolutely, positively cannot see past the next bucket of water he's going to throw out. I wonder if some of us find ourselves as this particular man in our storms of life. They've blown into our life. We panic. We grab the bucket, and we just start bailing. never realizing that, you know what? The boat's going down. Now, the next two are very interesting characters because there's two of them. And they, too, are busy trying, but they're not tackling the water. They are attempting to steady the boat. Now, I am very familiar with this particular mentality. If I can just get the boat to stop rocking, I can ride the storm out. If I can just get the boat to be still, who cares what's going on around me? If I can just get everything to go away and I can just focus on the problem at hand, then you know what? I can weather the storm. And as the artist painted these two guys, one of them is working on the sail. So what's the problem he's trying to deal with? The wind. He's trying to move the sail, lower the sail, reposition the sail, take it somewhere where it's going to stop rocking the boat. The other guy is bent over, and while he's staring back at Jesus, what's he really focused on? The anchor. You know that thing that holds the boat stationary? It's very important during times of storms because I can lower that anchor and it'll catch onto something beneath me. And you know what? Now my boat will be just fine. It's funny, these two guys do sort of have a view of Jesus, but they haven't stopped what they're doing to solve their problem. They're still saying, you know what? I can fix this. I can work on this. I can move that sail in such a position. I know all about boats. I know all about storms. I can drop the anchor, and we can just hold tight, and just like all the other storms, this too shall pass. How many times have you ever said that during your time of crisis? You know what? I'm just going to suck it up and move through it. I'm just going to keep pressing on. Meanwhile, the guy at the back is still bailing the water. You're just trying to steady the boat. You're tired of all the toss and turning. But here's the deal. Their actions are going to fail too. It's not going to work. I mean, there's too much wind. There's too much water. There's too much rocking. If you hold the boat steady, that's just going to make the job harder for the guy bailing the water at the back. See, this is futile. This isn't faith. Well, it's faith. You're just putting faith in what you know, not just what you can do. Now, this next guy is moving just a little bit closer. He has released the sails. He was helping the guy that was trying to steady the sail, but as he turned back, he has now realized that you know what? What I'm doing is making no difference. And so he has turned and he has let go of the sail, and I think it's important. He let go of the sail. What is he turning to? He's turning to Jesus. But he's not there yet. Okay, that's the important thing I want you to get. He's not there yet. He's turning. He realizes what I'm doing isn't working. What I'm doing isn't fixing the problem. The storm is still going. The boat is still filling. I'm getting seasick, and this isn't working, so I'm going to try something new and different. And the good news is he's turning his attention toward Jesus. This is a good thing. This man's faith is growing. He at least now sees the storm for what it is, something that he can't solve, something that he can't fix. And he's decided, you know what, I've got to look somewhere else. But you do get that staying in this position isn't going to be all that great for him. I mean, he's now hanging on to nothing. Remember that hold on thing? My kids say hold on. I say, to what? What's going to happen if he doesn't grasp hold of something and that boat keeps rocking? Where is he going to end up? In the drink. He's going to drown. So you do get that just letting go of your past, just letting go of your problems, it's not enough to solve them. Just acknowledging that there's nothing I can do and I'm going to let go and I'm going to just sit there and look at Jesus, that's not going to solve your problem. It's going to take more faith than that. Now, the next three, I think a lot of us wind up here. I feel sorry for these guys, sort of. They stopped bailing. They've stopped trying to fix the sails. They've stopped trying to really do anything. What have they done? They're just sitting on the side of the boat. Now, they are staring at Jesus, and they're pointing at Jesus, and they're putting some hope and some faith out there. But they're just kind of taking the attitude, you know what, I think I'll just sit here and wait for something miraculous to save me. They've sort of given up. They've become spectators in the storm. And where are they sitting? On the edge of the boat. Most likely, where are they going to end up if the storm doesn't stop? In the water. It's not a good place to be. I don't know much about boats, but this doesn't look like a good idea to me. But you understand, this is where a lot of us sit our faith. Yeah, there's problems. I got too many problems in my life to deal with. Yeah, I'm tired of this. I done bailed. It's not doing any good. I didn't work the sales. It's not doing any good. Yeah, I see this Jesus thing. He's kind of cool looking. Maybe I'll at least watch the show and see what's going on, but I'm just going to sit here. And maybe they're waiting to be rescued, or maybe they're just waiting to die. I don't know. But in the painting that you see, they haven't made a move yet. They're just stuck. And they're hoping that somebody else's faith will save their life. Man, I don't ever want to be the person on the side of the boat. I don't. I mean, it looks good. Look, they're pointing to Jesus, and it almost looks like they're worshiping him. They're hoping. They're praying. But they're not taking any action toward moving toward Christ. See, there's only one in the boat that did that, according to the painting. By the way, this is not historically accurate. I just want to make sure that there's a point to the painting. Where is this man? At the feet of Jesus, man. What's he holding on to? Jesus. He's kneeling. His hands are out there. He's reaching up. He's going to grab tight. He's got as close as he possibly can get to Jesus because he understands this storm, it ain't natural. This storm, I can't fix it. This storm, I can't survive it. So if I can't fix it and I can't survive it, then I better hang on to something that can. And this man recognizes who is Jesus. He's the one that can calm the storms. He's the one that can give me hope. He's not going to steady the boat. He's not going to bail the water. What's Jesus' focus? I'm going to calm the storm. I'm going to deal with the issue in your life, not your response to the issue in life. You know, we all have issues in our life. We sometimes call them sin, things that we struggle with. Sometimes it's not sin, sometimes it's just life, illnesses, people that affect our lives through death. Sometimes it's neither of those things. Sometimes it's just crisis of life where people come into our life and, man, they just bring drama into our life. That bothers me when you bring drama into my life. My life has enough drama. I don't need somebody else's, really. I don't. I produce enough all by myself. But they come into our life, and you know what? The boat, she starts to rocking. The cares and concerns, they start to come over the edge of the boat. And you know what? My natural instinct is to grab the bucket and start bailing. Start trying to fix the sails. But Jesus wants our faith to get to the point where we surrender to the storm, to him. So really, they woke Jesus up. What did they want? They were just looking for an answer to Jesus. What do you want to do with the storm? Do you want to save us? Do you care? Are you paying attention? And Jesus answers, oh, you have no idea. Not only am I paying attention to you, I'm paying attention to the other boats too. See, in the picture, when Jesus calmed the storm, everybody was physically saved. You see that? From the man bailing to the man kneeling. From the people that were in the boat to the people that were in the other boats. All of them got the same physical salvation. But only one truly understood what it meant to have saving salvation. The spiritual salvation. A saving faith. Something that only calmed that storm, but they could store away for the next storm that's going to come. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Because you know what? God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I got all of your storms. But if you want me to calm the storm, you're going to have to place your faith in me. Not in what you know, not in what you can do, not in what you think. You're going to have to put your faith in me. And that brings us to a very real question. Today, in the storms of your life, where are you? If you were to pick a person in that boat, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, there's no fill in the blank, we're not turning it in, because if I asked you, everybody would say, yeah, I'm the dude up here kneeling next to Jesus. I don't want the church answer. Okay? Right now, I want you to look at that painting. I want to ask you, if you were to put yourself in this boat, which one are you? Maybe you're in the boat that's off in the distance, and you know what? You're not even in the same boat with Jesus. Man, he's just this guy that was out here 2,000 years ago that they tell wonderful stories about, and you're not even in the right boat. Understand? You're not in the right boat, but you're in the right storm because Jesus is there. Maybe you're here today and you're the guy bailing water. Man, your boat is just taking on more water than you can handle. And you're dipping as fast as you can. That's okay. Guess what? You're at least in the right boat. Congratulations, you're on the right direction. Maybe you're trying to steady your life. Maybe you're just trying to end the chaos. Again, you're in the right boat. Notice you're looking in the right direction. At least you see who Jesus is. But you do realize you're going to have to move from that. Maybe today you are indeed the person you've let go and you're starting to turn toward Jesus. Don't look away. Don't. But I do encourage you to take the next step and grab hold. Maybe you're on the side of the boat and you're just thinking, you know what, my best days are behind me. I've been in these storms enough. I'm tired of the storms. I'm just going to sit here and wait to die. Or wait for something miraculous to happen. Something amazing. Let me encourage you. Get up. Get off the side of the boat. Where do we all need to be? The man in the front of the boat. Kneeling at the feet of Jesus. Turning our storms over to him. Asking him to bring peace and calmness to our life. Not that those storms won't come. But here's the thing. If you were to put yourself in that boat today, if you were to put yourself in that picture today, where would you be?